This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll talk heart health in a moment with a renowned doctor from Los Angeles. But first, the Tooth Fairy payout. Some kids are demanding over $13 a tooth. A poll found that parents across the country are digging deeper into their pockets when their little ones lose a tooth, with kids in New York City raking in as much as $13 per tooth. The study questioned 1,000 families in five cities: New York, L.A., Boston, Chicago, and Dallas, Houston. In Los Angeles, kids' teeth are worth an average of about $10. In Chicago, they go for $5.85. Kids in Dallas or Houston get $5.50. And Boston came in last with just about $5 a tooth. For $13 a tooth, I'd start pulling mine out right now. A blogger says most parents mess up their kids' allowances. Most parents who dole out allowances make mistakes that might actually hurt their kids' understanding of money, so claims Ron Lieber of Slate. For one thing, parents usually start too late. The best time? As soon as the kids start asking about money, which might be preschool. If not, start when the tooth fairy makes their first visit. Rather than have them pull out some additional teeth, as I just suggested, best to begin allowances that same week. Figure $1 a week per year of age and encourage the kids to divvy up the money into three categories: save, spend, and give, which is the rough approximation of an adult budget. If you can afford it, raise the allowance significantly as the kids age. Figure out a clothing budget, for example, and hand it over in a lump sum that lets them figure out, even if they fail spectacularly. Lieber also advises against linking the allowances to chores. If you do, there will become a point when your children have enough money and decline to do anything. Then what are you going to do? Kids, like adults, should do chores without pay. If they get lazy, it's better to take away privileges like computer time or the car keys than money. Allowances can be a powerful learning lesson, provided we give the kids the freedom to experiment, even if we don't always like their choices, says Ron Lieber of Slate. February is America Heart Month, but the advice of renowned cardiologist Dr. Matthew Budoff of the UCLA School of Medicine is useful any time of the year.
Yeah, I try to make it as simple as the ABCs, and luckily only go to G, so it doesn't go all the way through and get too drawn out.
All right, so let's start with A, and that you have as aspirin. Baby aspirin should be in a daily regimen, right?
I think for those of us at heart risk, so if you have a lot of risk factors for heart disease, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, you definitely should be on a baby aspirin once a day. Talk to your doctor about that, but it definitely helps. And if you've had a heart attack or stroke, obviously that's part of your lifelong regimen.
Absolutely. Well, as a heart attack survivor, I know personally that I take an aspirin every day, and that was prescribed by my cardiologist, and obviously you would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And aspirin a day does help keep the cardiologist away.
And what does the aspirin actually do?
It acts as a blood thinner. It thins out the platelets. The platelets are the things that block bleeding. And when they all clump together, they block the blood vessel and cause a heart attack. So by decreasing the platelets' ability to clump together, your blood keeps flowing and you have less heart attacks and strokes.
You know, I've been doing interviews about these issues for so long that I had a cardiologist on my show probably 20, 30 years ago. And he advised, you know, always keeping a couple of aspirin in your pocket. And sure enough, I had two aspirin in my pocket the night I had the heart attack. And my doctor said that might have definitely helped prevent, you know, any serious damage.
Absolutely. And, you know, paramedics, the first thing they do when they get to you, if they think you're having a heart attack, is they'll shove some aspirin down your throat, even if you're not feeling well or not in the mood. So it's definitely, the earlier you can take it, the better.
All right. Now for B, you have blood pressure control. Now that's obviously something that we should keep an eye on, but do most people even know what their blood pressure is?
I think that's a big problem. Blood pressure has been known as the silent killer because you don't really know when your pressure is high. I mean, some people, when it's really high, they get headaches or things like that, but that's the extreme. And most of us are walking around with high blood pressure and we don't even know it. So, you know, those drugstores have those little monitors, those little blood pressure devices. It's probably a good idea to shove your arm in there every now and then and make sure you haven't developed high blood pressure since the last checkup.
And even if they're not 100% accurate like you'd get at a doctor's office, it'll give you an indication of what direction you're headed.
Absolutely. And if it comes out high, I would definitely follow up with your regular doctor and see if what's going on.
And what should be the range of the two numbers that we get with blood pressure?
So normal is 120 over 80. So the top number 120, the bottom number 80. And anything above 140 as the top number or 90 at the bottom would be a sign of a problem.
Okay. And of course, there are medications you can take to control it and other things you can do to lower your blood pressure.
Absolutely, both natural and through medications to help control it.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Matthew Butoff, who is one of the people involved with raising awareness around the United States of heart health. Number C that you have in your ABCDEFGs, C is cholesterol. And tell us about the importance of keeping that in check.
Yeah, you know, so cholesterol is probably our most modifiable RAF factor. So if we lower cholesterol, you lower your risk of dying and having a heart attack. So it's really important to know your numbers. That includes your blood pressure and that includes your cholesterol.
All right. And again, what's a good cholesterol number to shoot for?
Yeah, so we're now focusing more on the LDL, the bad cholesterol, rather than the total cholesterol. And I like to see the LDL below 100. So that's a breakdown of the total. The total, we used to say below 200 is good, but if that could be deceiving if you have very little good cholesterol built in there.
Okay, and the good cholesterol, though, that's always good to up that a little bit?
Absolutely, and our best way to do that is E of exercise. I don't want to get ahead of us, but we can do that naturally with a little bit of exercise.
All right, and D is diet, which is pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you want to lose weight, I recommend a low-carb diet. Paleo or South Beach are good ways to lose weight, carb restriction. And then to live longer, I recommend the Mediterranean diet. Little bit of wine, little bit of fish, a little bit of olive oil and nuts built into your diet will really help make you live longer.
All right, we alluded to this a moment ago, but exercise E, that's really a key component for lifelong health, right?
Yeah, it's probably the best, and it's not as daunting as people think. People say, oh, you know, exercise, you got to join a gym, you got to start running a marathon. It's not that big a deal. You can just start by getting a nice walk in about three times a week. If you can walk for 20 minutes at least, you're going to really improve your heart health. And 20 minutes times three is 60 minutes. It's 1 hour. You have 168 of them in the week. For those of us who don't feel like we can part with our television shows, I have my treadmill set up in front of a TV, and I walk during one of the sitcoms, and I get all my exercise in while watching television. So I kill two birds with one stone, so to speak.
Well, that's the way to do it if you have the room in your house for some sort of an exercise machine that'll fit in your living room.
Yep, and they've come down in price quite a bit, so it's not as big an investment as it used to be.
All right, well, you know, I play pool volleyball year-round, indoors and outdoors, at my local club, and although it's not the most, exciting exercise that you get, you do move around, you're on your feet, you're jumping, you're leaping, you're reaching, and so my cardiologist said that he thought that the fact that I played that for so many years, like 20 years, that actually helped me survive a heart attack.
Absolutely. People who've exercised in their life definitely have a better shot at living through the problem or avoiding the problem altogether.
All right. F is fish. Now, you mentioned it earlier in the Mediterranean diet. Any specific fish we should be eating?
Well, you know, the fish, when we talk about eating fish, one of the real benefits, I mean, fish is good because it's, you know, low fat, high protein. But the other reason fish is so great for us is it has essential fish oils in it, the omega-3s. And the best way to get fish oil are the oily fish. Salmon is number one. Tuna has a fair amount of oil in it. Sardines, mackerel, herring have a lot of oils. So you eat an oily fish and you really get the benefits of the omega-3s, which we think are the most important for heart health.
Now, if we don't want to eat fish, can we just take omega-3 pills?
You can. And I'm a big advocate, if you can't seem to get fish into your diet at least two times a week, that a fish oil supplement would be helpful. Just don't, you know, swallow it and then go to the local fast food place and fill up and counteract some of the benefits. That's why fish is a little bit better, because you actually, you know, it fills you up at the same time as getting the fish oils in you. A fish to oil tablet is not very filling.
Gotcha. All right. And finally, G for garlic. Now, this one kind of surprises me.
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of research, and to be honest, I was very surprised by the benefit of garlic. I went in there very agnostic, not sure that it was going to work, and just willing as a scientist to study it, and it really did work. I studied a product called aged garlic extract. It's an odorless garlic product, and it really did lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, and help with slowing down the plaque buildup in the coronary arteries. So I've become a big advocate of it. I've done four studies now, and all four came out positive for garlic therapy.
All right, so I'm writing this down, and so are all the people listening. So tell us that again. What should we be buying?
So it's called Aged Garlic Extract. They have about 1,000 publications. This company, you know, a lot of the nutritional companies don't do a lot of research. This company's done 1,000 studies, and they have them all on their website. It's at kyolic.com, kyolic.com, and they can read about some of the studies that I've done and other studies done around the world to show the benefit. But it really did work, and it's odorless, so it will not upset your spouse or coworkers.
Now, these obviously are tips that we can use all year round, not just the month of February for Heart Month.
Absolutely, yeah. Unfortunately, there's no spike in heart disease during February, so it's a year-long battle that we can all help wage war against.
Your advice seems so logical and so easy to do, really, that it's crazy that everyone isn't doing it.
Yep, it's all in moderation. It's really not as hard as it sounds.
All right, Dr. Budoff, thank you so much. All the best to you.
You too, and thank you for having me on.
With Dr. Matthew Budoff, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This NBA All-Star has almost 3,600 career rebounds as a center for the 76ers and the Nets, but he's probably better known for his misdeeds off the court.
Final buzzer sounded today for an ex-NBA star, Jason Williams, as his 8-year legal battle came to a close in a Somerville courtroom.
So where is Jason Williams now? Jason was playing with a shotgun at his estate in New Jersey in 2002 when the gun accidentally went off, killing driver Gus Christoffi. Jason pled guilty to aggravated assault 8 years later, just days after cops arrested him for a DWI. He served 26 months in prison for the two crimes. Jason reportedly started writing his autobiography in 2012, titled Humbled.
You never want to get used to jail, you know. I just started writing letters to my dad, who had died 3 months before.
Just the latest rebound for Jason Williams. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. This winter, a free day off from the halls with the yellow walls. The biker completely understands. A free school snow day. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. As a kid at heart, ABM has fond memories of the magic of an unanticipated day away from the hallway passes and cafeteria pizza topped with government cheese. The moment of discovery of a free school snow day never gets old. Nearly every ride on a motorcycle is a bit like a free school snow day. Like a free pass school day, no past, no future. Life on two wheels is totally in the now, much like a kid's snow day every day.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two.